Welcome back to the Townships at 12. I'm your host, Maureen, and you're listening to The Cube 88.9 FM. In this segment, I will be talking with Gary Boyle, better known as the Backyard Astronomer. Gary is an astronomy educator, the former columnist for the Royal Astronomical Society of Canada, and a STEM educator. He will be talking to us about the solar eclipse coming on April 8th and how we can safely view it from our backyards. We will start out this segment with a song called Eternal Sunshine by Ariana Grande, and we will hear the interview right after the song, so please stay tuned.
I don't care what people say. We both know I couldn't change you. I guess you could say the same. Can't rearrange truth. I've never seen someone lie like you do. So much even you start to think it's true. Ooh, get me out of this loop. Yeah, yeah. So now we play our separate scenes. Now she's in my bed, laying on your chest. Now I'm in my head, wondering how it ends. I'll be the first to say I'm sorry. Now you got me feeling sorry. I showed you all my demons, all my lies. Let you play me like Atari. Now it's like I'm looking in a mirror. Hope you feel alright when you're in her. I found a good boy and he's on my side. You're just my eternal sunshine, sunshine. Feel painless. I'd rather forget than know for sure what we could have fought through behind this door. So I close it and move. Yeah, yeah. So now we play separate scenes. Now he's in your bed and laying on my chest. Now I'm in my head.
For the Cube, and today we welcome Gary Boyle to the Townships at 12. Now, Gary Boyle, known as the Backyard Astronomer, he's an astronomy educator, a guest speaker. He's the former monthly columnist for the Royal Astronomical Society of Canada, as well as a STEM educator. Now, I don't know what a STEM educator is. Could you help me with that, Gary?
STEM stands for Science, Technology, Engineering, and Math.
Okay.
The new acronym is used just for all the genres together for education.
Okay, great. Now, how did you get interested in astronomy?
Well, astronomy started many, many years ago, back in 1965 when I was 8 years old. And it was a book in the elementary school library entitled Stars. And just opening up to a page that showed the sun and a little dot seeing the Earth, I went on to realize that it's 109 Earths that fit across the sun like a string of pearls. And that was my wild factor and haven't stopped the last 59 years.
Okay, that's great. That's interesting. You're a backyard astronomer. What specific tools or equipment do you recommend for safely observing the solar eclipse coming up on April 8th from one's backyard?
Yeah, the solar eclipse, when dealing with the sun, always danger is involved. You don't want anyone to lose eyesight or have damages. So there's special eclipse glasses, which are sold. In fact, I just bought a six-pack online today, which come tomorrow, so there's still many to be sold out there. But if people cannot find these eclipse glasses, you can maybe try to find a piece of number 14 welder's glass, which is safe enough to look at the partial phases of the sun. And if all that fails, you can use various props, such as a vegetable strainer or a spaghetti colander, which projecting onto the ground, the image of the sun, you're going to see semicircles. And that's of the moon covering the sun. And that's a safe way to look at a projection on the ground without looking at the sun. In fact, there's even a photograph on my website, wondersofastronomy.com.
Okay, that sounds good. How can backyard astronomers contribute to citizen science during a solar eclipse event?
Nothing really that the citizen scientists can do other than, you know, enjoying taking pictures, which, you know, pixels are free. Don't use your cell phone camera. That's for sure. You might damage that. But pretty a lot is known about the sun. And that really helped Albert Einstein back in 1919 to prove that gravity bends light. He sent Arthur Eddington to an eclipse expedition to photograph the total eclipse of the sun. And when the moon covers the sun, which will occur on April the 8th, he did photograph stars that were close to the sun. Well, after when they compared images taken at night many months after where the stars are, they did shift the ones very close to the sun by a predicted distance by Einstein. So gravity does bend light.
Okay, that's really interesting. Now, can you recommend any specific locations or setups within a backyard that will provide optimal view of the solar eclipse?
Really, as clear to the south and western horizon you can get, because the eclipse really starts at 2:16 p.m. for Sherbrooke. Mid-eclipse, or that is totality, begins at 3:27 p.m., and you're going to have 3 minutes and 24 seconds where the moon will cover the sun totally and ends at 4:38, which is about 3 hours before sunset. So really, if you get as clear as south and western horizon, you'll be fantastic.
Okay, I know that Bishop's University is having a huge event in Calder Field, so a lot of people will be there. They're expecting even up to 10,000 people, so that's quite phenomenal.
Yeah, because we have one of these in virtually our backyard. For you, it's going right over Sherbrooke. But usually eclipses occur in different parts of the world, which have spent thousands of dollars. It can cloud it out, so if anyone can really attend this, do so.
Okay. Are there any interesting phenomena or events associated with a solar eclipse that amateur astronomers might be able to observe or document even?
Yeah, for sure. Once totality begins, we're going to see the outer corona of the sun, which is only seen during a total eclipse. And many professional telescopes and even space satellites can do this artificially, but to see it live in person is really stuff to see. Also, the prominences, these big stems of plasma coming off the sun will be seen naked eye without optical aid, but you know, even binoculars can show this too. Once the sun is covered. And of all things, you'll see two planets, which is Jupiter up to the 11 o'clock position and then Venus down to the 5 o'clock position. So you'll see two planets and maybe even there's a naked eye comet that might be seen, comet 12P Pons-Brooks. But definitely you'll be able to see the two bright planets.
Okay. Now, how can one effectively photograph a solar eclipse? Let's talk about people with cameras interested in photography using basic camera equipment. Any tips or recommendations for this?
Well, when you move through the partial phases, always use the filter even for your camera because you're going to burn out your sensor or destroy your iPhone. And just put the filter in front of your lens or even if the telescope you have in front of your telescope, and just take various exposures. I mean, pixels are free, so an eclipse is not like it's over in 3 seconds. So you'll have time to take multiple exposures. And then once the moon covers the sun totally, it's safe enough to take off the filters to image that corona and prominences around. So again, just, you know, put on a tripod with a cable release and take many exposures until you like the one. But don't spend all your time behind the camera. You enjoy the view with your own eyes, because it's amazing what the memory can hold 50, 60 years from now that you'll be telling your grandchildren about.
Now, what type of filters do we need for the camera? Is it something we can buy online, like from Amazon?
Well, yes, various telescope dealers, reputable telescope dealers, sell the, it's called Baader film, B-A-A-D-E-R. And it's a solar film which is sold by the footer or by the square inch. So you can buy, you know, a 12-inch by 12-inch for, depending how much you sell it for. And then you can wrap that in front of your telescope or camera or whatnot. So we do have larger ones, and it's the same material that is made in the eclipse glasses. Just there are larger pieces which you can make or devise your own filters for. When I say devise filters, never check online the do-it-yourself filters. It's not worth it. You'll lead to eye problems or even blindness. So do stay with the reputable certified eclipse glasses and filters, and enjoy the show, because really it's nature in motion.
Okay, it is. Now, you have a website. Could you mention your website?
Yes, I do. Again, it's wondersofastronomy.com. And if any of your listeners have any questions that they might have on eclipse or viewing it and safety, whatever, they can always email me through the contact on my website.
Okay, any other websites that you would recommend, or any other resources or books?
Well, there are many out there. I mean, it's just like there's the one good cookbook, you know, such as your sports book. So there are many good books on astronomy. I'm writing a book on astronomy, which should be out hopefully by next year. So there's no one-stop shop, that sort of thing. But as per websites, with the NASA websites, you really can't go wrong with that. But again, I can always send links to anyone that wants to pursue information on not just the eclipse, but astronomy in general, because I do love to educate.
Is this your first book coming out next year?
Yes, it will be my first book. Yeah, really, it's an introduction to astronomy, as if you were taking my course in class, because I've taught many courses in the past. So really, it'll be an easy-to-read book on how to start observational astronomy. Unlike years ago, where you needed the PhD or $8,000 of equipment, nowadays with cell phone apps that show the constellations and the planets, whatever, astronomy can be a very easy to learn, pleasing subject. And even in with COVID that we had for years, still, you know, with anxiety and stress levels being high, people that enjoy a country sky that sees the Milky Way, those 10 or 15 seconds, everything just is wiped from your mind. So really, it's just a wonderful science / hobby to get into. And again, I just love to inspire anyone to look up and really wonder what's out there. There's a lot of science that we know about the nighttime sky, including exoplanets.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you have any special memories from your experiences with astronomy?
Oh, so many great memories. No, we don't UFOs, as per se, but just, you know, so many clear nights. No matter if it's, you know, bug-ridden human nights right down to cold, cold events, seeing eclipses, seeing comets in the past, which we have another great comet. We had Comet Neowise, which was back in 2020, which everyone around the world saw that one. So many, many great memories for sure. Really can't bring it down to the top 100, but you know, really every night that you're looking at the night sky, especially here where I live in the country, where I can see about 2,000 stars at any given time on a clear moonless night, which anyone could do as they have outside the city. And you wouldn't have to move too far into Quebec to see a wonderful sky, seeing the Milky Way of containing billions and billions of stars. To think that almost every star in our galaxy could have at least one planet, not be like the Earth, because many are these hot Jupiters that as big as Jupiter, about 11 times the size of the Earth, but close to the sun like Mercury. That wouldn't be good for life. So life wouldn't really exist there, we don't think. But there are many planets where it's just around the right habitable zone, or the Goldilocks zone, where water would, if it has water, would stay liquid and life could begin. So when you look at a star, they could be a planet looking back at our star thinking, is there life around that one?
Okay, that sounds fascinating. Definitely something that I think everybody could be interested in astronomy. Now, do you have anything else you'd like to add?
No, that's good. Just really enjoy the eclipse and weather. Springtime in Canada could be very nice, beautiful, clear day here today, but who knows when the time comes, let's hope. But astronomy is just a wonderful hobby to pursue, to enjoy, and really nature in total, whether it be bird singing or smelling flowers or looking at the night sky. Really, science is a wonderful thing to enjoy with not yourself but just the family too. Kids are too much involved now with the tablets, the telephone, and the TV, the three T's that I usually reference to. Go out and enjoy some nature and pursue some documentaries on TV about astronomy, and learn as much as you can.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Gary Boyle, the backyard astronomer here on the Townships at 12. Thanks again, and all the best on viewing the eclipse, and be safe, everybody. Thank you.
Thank you for having me, and clear skies, everyone.
Little city, I'm a late night rider. Got a dark cloud follow me around like the guilt of a lone survivor. Somewhere I lost myself, lost friends, lost fam, lost idols. Yeah, the scars heal, but I still feel hurt in the light on the life signs vital. I'm a broken soul, nobody really know me. The long nights move slow, without my shadow. Shut down when you get too close, 'cause I'm permanently numb in my feelings. Yeah, I don't wanna cry out for help, even though help's all I'm really needing. Is someone to be here, is someone to feel with. My heart is too cold, no one breathing. I'm a broken soul, and nobody really know me. The long nights move slow, without my shadow I'd be lonely.
We just heard a song from Dylan James, and the song was called My Shadow. Next up, we have some health news here on the Townships at 12, and today we'll be talking about weighted blankets. If you suffer from insomnia or anxiety, you know how frustrating it can be to lie awake in bed for hours on end. That's where a weighted blanket can come to the rescue. These blankets are typically filled with glass beads, with the added weight helping to create a relaxing feeling of being hugged. Can one actually make a difference for your sleep? The science is still limited, but promising preliminary research suggests that a weighted blanket can help manage anxiety. It can help reduce feelings of stress and improve overall sleep quality through deep pressure stimulation, a therapeutic technique thought to increase the production of mood-boosting serotonin and reduce that of the stress hormone cortisol, according to the Sleep Foundation. A weighted blanket is generally safe to use if you're an adult, per the Sleep Foundation, as long as you're able to move it off by yourself. But weighted blankets may not be suitable for those with medical conditions like sleep apnea or asthma. So be sure to consult your doctor. If you're ready to try one, here's what to think about. Most weighted blankets are between 10 and 30 pounds. Brands will typically have specific guidelines to help you find the weight that's best for you, one equal to 10% of your body weight. If you weigh 150 pounds, for example, opt for a 15-pound weighted blanket. And that's our health news today on the Townships at 12. And this is from Prevention Magazine, the March 2024 issue. I'd like to thank my guest today, Susan Mastine, for coming in and telling us all about the beginnings of the Township Sun. So definitely, if you don't subscribe to the Township Sun, it's a great little magazine and supporting our people here in the townships. So go to the website, Township Sun, that's TOWNSHIPSSUN.ca, and subscribe. And if you want the phone number, again, it's 819-566-7424. I'd also like to thank the backyard astronomer, Gary Boyle, for coming and telling us all about how we can safely view the upcoming eclipse on April 8th. Safety is most important, and we can do that in our backyard. And we'll close out today's show with a song from the Hawthorns, and the song is called Zero Gravity. Thanks, everybody, for listening.
Alien from outer space, you far surpass this human race. Sold the world and hung the stars. Tell me, what is life like on Mars? Won't make this all about me. It had to be hard for you to leave. Thought I heard your voice through the radio. Are you trying to reach me? I just don't know. I am waiting, countdown to lift off. I can feel you with me, even though I know you're not. I let you go in zero gravity. I'm awake now, but in my dreams, you're coming back to me. Two satellites, same apogee. Matter of time till one breaks free. Then they fall to earth, tailspin. In the constellations, I'll see you again. I am waiting, countdown to lift off. I coming back to me.